99. Are you in the clear?
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, Sergeant Meredith, 909, in service, on the air. This is Sergeant Dan Meredith of Unit 99 at Headquarters, Police Department, City of Sacramento, California. My detail is to ride in Unit 99, our tape recorder-equipped radio car, and to respond whenever the dispatcher transmits a signal to one of our other units on duty somewhere in the city. At the scene, we make the recordings which we provide for this program. Now, to tell you more about Unit 99, here is our chief, James V. Hicks, Sacramento Police.
When Unit 99 takes off on the dispatcher's radio signal, everything which happens is real. What you hear, happened. This is the standing order to Sergeant Meredith, the officer in charge of Unit 99. Get it on the spot while it's going on. And as you listen, this is what Meredith does. Now, to Unit 99 and Sergeant Dan Meredith on duty.
Unit 2, 945 at 1809, C. Charles, an injured man, code 3. Kimmy asked him.
That's an ambulance follow-up. It sounds a little unusual. We better take a look at it.
The ambulance and the unit's here. Let's see what it is. Went into the ambulance drawers. The officers are working on somebody that's cut. You say it's a knife fight, King?
Yes, and he staggered in here for aid. The nurse, we haven't got the full story yet. The nurse, Sarah could tell you the cannery. Meredith went out to check it.
Where did you say it happened?
Out there by the incinerator, by that almond deal.
You talked to him at all?
No, not yet. Meredith's in.
Officers Bertolani and Irving are taking the victim to the emergency hospital now on a stretcher. Ambulances are waiting outside. We'll pick up the full story later.
I guess they're going to take him in the emergency and Dick's talk to him or something on it.
Quite deep. We just lived deep.
You're the nurse out here at the ambulance? Yes.
Uh-huh.
And where was he cut? This man?
Right here.
Right across the left side of the neck.
About 2 inches.
How wide is it?
Quite deep. It wasn't wide, it was deep. I think if they'd gone a little bit deeper, he'd have bled to death.
And where was the other?
Way back here in his arm.
On the arm?
From what I could see, the serious cut. The rest I didn't see.
Did he tell you anything?
No. I didn't question it. I didn't question it. I just took care of the bleeding.
Was anybody here that talked to him?
No, because everybody was panicky and they called me right out and I took care of the gentleman. And I didn't question it. I knew at a glance he wasn't one of our men.
Do you know if it severed the artery or cut into it?
Very close. On both places.
Down the railroad tracks to where this cutting had taken place, the detectives Byram and Vine and Officer Clarence King. Quite a ways from the almond growers, we're at the extreme back part of it, going over the levee and across the tracks, following a path of blood. Over to the right is the large incinerator. Officer Jerry Meredith is talking to Detective Zine now. We'll take it in.
He's a guy. Yeah, he's supposed to have reddish hair, too. There's nobody in here now. There's some colored boys over there and a couple of guys over there.
The white guy is supposed to be 6'10".
How tall?
6'10". That's what the victim said.
You going over there in that jungle and check it?
Yeah.
Let's go. We're over by the large incinerator. Several hobos are camped alongside. It furnishes them with a great deal of heat here. It's quite cold tonight. I see blankets, cardboards, improvised beds of all kinds here. There seems to be about 10 bums here.
There were some guys that were standing over here, and we went to bed around there, but I don't know whether they're still there or not.
Uh-huh. You didn't see or hear anything like a fight?
No, I didn't hear nothing. I heard some fellas are talking over there.
Over there where those officers are?
Yeah, over that fire.
Okay, thanks. We're going further out. Ahead of us is Detective Byram with Patrol Officers King and Jerry Meredith.
see any blood stains or paths?
No, we're looking.
Let's go over here by the fire. It seems to be several fellas here asleep. This is quite a jungle camp here, Byram.
Yeah, I wonder where all the occupants of these fine sleeping facilities belong.
Yeah, it looks like about 6 beds here unoccupied also.
Hey, boy, wake up.
Quick!
On your feet.
Oh, yeah.
You all alone here?
Oh, that's a little bad, though.
Where?
Where is he?
How long have you been here?
Good day. Good day.
Good
day.
Where'd you come from?
Idaho Fall.
How long you been sleeping right here in this spot?
Just a night.
Just a night.
What time was that?
Well, about 15, 20 minutes ago.
15, 20 minutes ago. Then you haven't been asleep very long, have you?
No.
You see a fight over here?
No.
Stand up, will you? Where'd all your boyfriends go? There's a half a dozen beds around here.
I don't know the way they went there. You know,
how many of them were here?
There were two or three of us, about four of us.
You know they know their names?
Nothing.
You come in town with them?
Yes, I come in by myself.
You just met these boys here in the camp?
I came off sitting down here. Well, they all went to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Where's your shoes?
Those be on these here.
They usually use the shoes as pillows. Yeah, there they are.
Got them under the paper there to keep them from getting wet, I guess.
Yeah. You didn't see a fight or hear of a fight around here, did you?
Nothing.
You positive?
Yes, sir.
Well,
looks like your boyfriend's cut out and left you.
Well, you going to check the area a little bit more here, Byram and King?
Yeah, there's a 40-acre field here that they could be in. Either one of these two bridges leads over to North Sacramento. The guy could be long gone. Very likely is.
Or in one of those boxcars.
Well, if this fellow is 6'10", it won't be hard to identify him.
Very, very easy to spot.
Byram, what kind of coverage do we have out here?
Well, we've got two men over there on the levee that are going to handle the east side, and there's a man over by the subway. I don't think he can get back over there. We'll cover the middle of the field down here and work toward the tracks, I guess. The river's over there. If he's gotten as far as the river by now, why, chances are good that he's gotten away for the night.
Okay, we'll search around a little further here, and then you're going to go in and talk with the victim later.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll follow you in on it.
Victim taken to the emergency of the county?
He's at the county, 99.
Okay, thanks.
Give me 907.
We're going into the emergency ward of the county hospital. There he is. How you getting along there, fella?
Oh, I hope so. All right, sir.
All right, let's take it from the beginning now. How long have you been in Sacramento?
Just came in.
What time?
Just came, well, we left Roseville at 3:30. I guess it's around 5 o'clock when we get here.
About 5 o'clock today. You say we left Roseville. Who came with you?
Murphy.
Who's Murphy?
The guy with the coat on.
He's got the trench coat on.
Yes, sir.
Is he the man that cut you?
No, sir. Didn't touch me.
And where'd you come after you got to Sacramento?
Well, I walked downtown and I left my bedroll right with Jerry.
Yeah, and where?
Well, we walked out of the ski room, we come back out, and we got a pack of cookies. Walked over and sat down and met his guy.
Where'd you get the cookies?
From Mom's Mission.
From Mom's Mission over on 12th Street there.
That's right, correct.
You and Murph?
Me and Murphy.
Nobody else was with you at this time?
No, sir.
Right, where'd you meet this guy that cut you?
On 12th Street.
At Mom's?
Across the street.
Across the street from Mom's.
You know where the police station goes that way?
Yeah.
We were sitting over there, we was eating a cookie, and they come up, and I know him before. I know him in Portland. I see him everywhere in my life.
Every place you go on the bum, you see this guy, but you don't know his name, though.
I can tell you how you identify him. He wears a ring in his ear.
Which ear?
I can't say which ear, sir, but he does wear one.
What kind of a ring? A gold ring?
No, any kind of ring that he can find in his ear.
Okay, now this guy that cut you, he, when you met him on 12th Street, he bought you 2 half gallons of wine?
No, we sat reading there, and he gave me 4 bits, and I still have that in my pockets.
Why'd he give you the money?
I know the man.
Oh, it's just because you know him.
Well, sure.
All right. Let's get up to the cut now. Where'd you get the wine and what happened?
Well, we went over, you know where the liquor store is on 12th there?
Yeah.
Mom's. We only got 2 half gallons of wine and a 1/4 inch of ale.
He bought him?
He most certainly did.
All right, and then where'd you go?
Went, you know where the almond thing is that down there? That's where we went. And a guy with a hole in his throat.
What do you mean, the guy with a hole in his throat?
He can't talk.
Was he with you?
No, sir. He told him to get out of the place, too.
He told him to get out of what place? Out of the almond growers?
Yes, sir.
Where were you, down by those big metal sheds?
Yeah, it's, we had a fire down there.
Were you over by the fire, near the incinerator?
No. It's over there. You know, I've been in Sacramento many years of my life.
You know where the Western Pacific tracks are?
Yeah, it's right by the main lines where this stuff happens at.
They're over by the main line. It wasn't on that spur track by the Yamaha.
No, it's on the main line. I can see the almond growers over there.
All right. Now, how'd the beef start?
Well, I don't know really how it happened, sir.
Well, you're the man that got cut. We don't
know.
Well,
do I think there was a robber involved someplace, and I had about $3, and I only got about 4 bits in my pocket, 57 cents in my pocket right today.
You think there was a robbery involved? Now, how did that come into this?
I don't know. We walked up, and he left his money with the guy with the hole in his throat.
Who left his money?
The guy that picked me up. I know him more than word. I know him as Red only.
He left his money with the guy with the hole in his throat?
Yes, sir.
And why did he do that?
I do not know.
Do you think you were going to rob him?
He must have.
Oh. Have you had trouble with him before?
No, sir. Never in my life.
What reason would he think that you were going to rob him?
I do not know.
But you think that's what he had in his mind when he left the money?
That's what he had in his mind.
Was that what the fight started over, or over the wine?
No, there was no fight over the wine.
Did you break the wine?
No, there's half a gallon still laying in my bedroom and my suitcase and everything else. I'm still laying there.
Still laying up there by the main line. Are you right up on the level with the tracks or are you down at the bottom of the levee?
Well, you know where the viaduct is at?
Yeah.
It was just, I'll say, north of that, just a little bit.
Tell us how this fight got underway now.
Well, I went with this guy and he pulled his knife out.
Why did he pull his knife out?
I do not know, sir.
Just for no reason at all, he reached in his pocket.
I have no reason to believe what he said.
You didn't have any words with him?
Never.
After he pulled the knife out, then what'd he do?
No, it is what happened. That's it.
Cut you where?
Here.
On the throat? Your arm?
My hand.
Did he say anything to you?
Never a word.
And up to this time, you'd been friendly with him. He bought the wine, and you were all...
I know him a long time. I know him, but I can't tell you his name.
Well, just before the cutting, now, didn't you have any argument with him
or
anything?
Not a word. Not a word.
Was he drunk?
He's drinking.
Were you drunk?
Yes, sir, I'm drinking.
Yeah.
Then I'm drunk.
Right after the cutting, then, what happened?
Well, I wandered around there, and I figured I got to get some medical attention. So I wandered in someplace down here. I don't know. I'm thinking. I don't know what it was. Maybe the officer can tell you.
Do you know what happened to the other fellow?
Yeah. No, I do not.
What happened to Murphy?
I do not know.
Where was he when this happened?
Well, last time I saw him, he was going across the track with a half a gallon of wine, sir.
He was legging it out of there, huh?
Right.
That's when after the cutting.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I see which way the guy went to cut you.
No, sir, I did not.
All right, after the guy cut you, did he go through your pockets or anything?
No, sir, he did not touch me.
Well, what makes you think there's a robbery involved?
I think he's thinking I was trying to rob him, maybe.
Oh. And were you?
No, sir.
You're sure?
I'm positive.
Doctor, what's the extent of this man's injuries? The one that's cut over here.
As far as the cuts, that's all I can tell you. But, I mean, I have not examined the gentleman. His cuts are strictly minor and superficial.
See, now, in the event we pick this man up, do you want to press charges against him?
I do not wish to, sir. Even if he killed me, I don't want to do that.
You don't want to prosecute him?
I do not, sir.
Well, that's as far as we can go, then.
The cutting case had its elements of mystery. But the officers will tell you that the habits of the jungle habitue are often difficult to fathom. Why the man was stabbed has never been explained. Perhaps the victim did try to rob his assailant. Perhaps they quarreled over the jug of wine. Be that as it may, The culprit, all 6 feet, 10 inches of him, vanished into the night. And the victim's reluctance to make a complaint would have made his apprehension a worthless gesture.
Unit 3. 1705 Capitol Avenue. A 415. Check 3. Came in on 07.
That's a disturbance complaint for Unit 3. It's a fairly warm night. Windows are open, and it could be a noisy party. We'll see what it is, though. The units here, I guess the offices are on the inside. Apartment house, two blocks east of the Capitol Park. Yes, sir.
Do you know where 1724 Capitol Avenue is?
1724. Well, what are you doing back here, fella?
I'm looking for an apartment house. I'm not bothering nobody. My car's parked down there.
What are you doing back in here?
I went back there to look for an apartment. I thought there may be one back in the rear.
How about coming with us then, will you?
I wasn't hurting nobody.
Over here. Faden, Reynolds,
yep.
You have a disturbance in there?
Yeah, three girls discussing money problems.
Came up here and this guy comes out between the buildings here.
I was
here.
Looking for an apartment house back there. I thought there was one back there. I'm working steady. I come down. I've been sick. I went down to see if I still had a job.
What are you doing around here?
Well, I was looking for the boss's house. They give me the address down there, 17 something. See, they wasn't sure.
17 something what?
Capitol Avenue.
Who gave you that address?
The manager down there. The woman.
What for?
I wanted to see if I had a job. I'm working down there steady.
At 1 o'clock in the morning?
I work from 11.
The manager was supposed to live at this address?
See there, yes.
17 what?
1715 East or Capitol Avenue.
Where's the address written down? You got it written down somewhere?
No, they just gave it to me.
You say 1715?
Yes.
Well, you just got through telling me 1724.
Well, they wasn't sure. I'm not lying to you. I've got my car here.
Well, 1724 would be on the opposite side of the street.
Where is he down here?
He's right between here. Those
I'm not doing nothing.
Coming out of there.
I haven't been drunk or nothing.
Three young girls upstairs.
Do you know anybody in these apartments here?
No. I'm not trying to cause no trouble.
When were you arrested last?
Well, I got out of jail January.
What for?
Peeping Tom, but I wasn't doing that. I haven't been in any trouble. I'm not lying.
Oh, now, what were you doing between the buildings?
I wasn't doing nothing, so help me.
He came out over here, then.
Yeah, right back through there.
The gate is still open. I'm not lying to you.
What were you doing back there? You know the front door to the apartment house is right there. You can see the front door to this house is right there.
I thought there was an apartment back there. I'm not lying to you. I don't want to get
right
in trouble.
Here.
My wife just had
Nobody
a baby.
Ever wants to get in trouble, but you're in trouble. Let's see your heels. He's got a horseshoe on him or a peg on his heel.
He's got pegs on him.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
Right underneath the window, huh?
Right.
Sir, if I would take...
You see through the Venetian blinds and right by a plant.
Well, what is it?
Right in the dirt, huh? In the dirt.
Would you please, I promise I'll never do it again. I don't want to go to jail. Please let me go home.
Well, why don't you tell us the truth now?
I was back there, but please let me go home.
You were peeping, though, huh?
Yes, but I won't do it no more. Just let me go home.
Turn around here. All right, now back up. Back up to the car. Now sit right there. You're preparing for something here.
No,
you,
I'm not. I want to go
If you do
home.
It, you'll be sorry.
Please let me go home.
Just stick right here.
I won't do nothing more. I just want to go home to my wife. I promise you I won't go no place else. You can follow me home if you want to. I promise you I won't go no place else. Mm-hmm.
You have a nice family, I suppose.
I do. My wife loves me, and I don't want nothing to happen to her.
Stand over there, will you, Bill?
I don't want to escape or nothing. I got a little money on me, not much, but I will go home, and you can follow me home. I got my car keys. Just trust me just this one time. Will you please let me go home?
No,
I won't.
Let's go.
Sir, please, I won't do nothing. I want to go home to my wife.
Get in the car now. Get in the car.
No, I want to go home, please.
Now, look, now, we're not going to have any trouble with this.
I don't want no trouble. Please, I just want to go home. No,
yes,
I don't want to.
Now, look, now, don't give us any trouble. Now, get in the car.
I won't.
Now, you're going to make it worse for yourself if you resist arrest.
No, I don't want to. I'm not resisting arrest.
What are you doing? Get in the car, then. Now, get in the car.
I don't want to.
That's nice.
Come on, get in the car. I won't.
It's all cut and dry. Get in the car.
Because I don't want to be booked.
Now listen,
home.
you're going to do it the easy way. No, you're going to get in the car. Now get in.
Will you?
Now get in.
No, I'll.
Get in the car.
What is it?
God.
Bag.
Yeah.
Private property. Peeping Tom.
Yeah. No visible means support. He's done business around here, so that's good enough.
Okay, Dan.
Okay, boys.
Watch it! There he goes! Please! Stop!
Get him?
Yeah. Look at here.
There we got him.
Yeah, well, you're not going home. You ought to know better after doing 6 months to run away from the police. You just got yourself.
All right.
6 months.
Let's go.
The 6 months we were going to do before.
What's the charge now, Reynolds?
Oh, nothing. Resisting arrest.
Vagrancy.
This man was charged with vagrancy and resisting arrest and sentenced to 6 months in jail on each count. He has a record of burglary, and there is reason to believe that he was casing the apartment for that purpose rather than peeping. The shot which was fired during his attempt to escape was aimed over his head. He was captured when he tripped over a chain at the entrance of a parking lot.
This is Unit 99, presented in cooperation with station KFBK in Sacramento, California. These on-the-scene tape recordings were provided by the Sacramento Police Department and were made on duty by Sergeant Dan Meredith in Unit 99. Your host is Chief James V. Hicks of the Sacramento Police Department.
KMA 907, Sacramento Police. Unit 99. Are you in the clear?
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, Sergeant Meredith, 909, in service, on the air.
Unit 99 has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.